Bill Flores joins us today. He was not able to yesterday because he was traveling. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning. It's great to be with you, Scott.
Thank you. Let's talk just a minute before we go on for your reason to come back down here. You left D.C., I guess, yesterday morning, and sequester has caused furloughs on and government employees, backups at airports, but apparently that's not happening in D.C.
Well, I don't know if it is or not. I can tell you my flight was late, and the pilot blamed it on the sequester.
Okay.
I missed my connecting flight to Waco, and so I had to rent a car and drive. So it looks to me like the Ray LaHood has started to try to punish the American people.
These are the intended consequences, I guess. What? How is this going to change or shift in the next week? Because obviously a lot of business week travelers need to get out and get their business done.
Well, I've been... The four of us that are sophomores had a conversation with the speaker on Tuesday, and we sat down with him and said, you know, there's no reason for us to let this be inflicted on the American people. If we could come up with alternatives, for instance, I've introduced a bill to zero out the Obama phone program and take that $2.2 billion and use about half a billion of that to keep the air traffic control fully staffed. And then the second thing is to send $1.6 billion to the Navy so they can send the Truman aircraft carrier group over the Middle East where it needs to be.
Bill Flores joining us this morning, and so obviously you came back, you wanted to get to West, and I know you want to go ahead and explain why you necessarily were not there so quickly after the event.
Well, I was in Afghanistan this past weekend, and we had set up Rob Whitman from Virginia had set up a congressional delegation trip to Afghanistan to look at issues regarding the transition and budget impact of the sequester on our war on terror efforts. And it felt inappropriate to me to be in West early as last week, because these folks are still trying to dig out of the mess that they've got, and I just felt like I'd be in the way. And it would be better to go up there when we start to celebrate the lives of those we lost. And so that's the reason I went yesterday. I went to the first funeral yesterday for Lucky Harris, and I've got, 13 or 14 more funerals to go, and I felt like that was a better time for me to be there. Now, that said, our office has been very busy helping out the community of West and all of McLennan County to deal with this.
You'll be at the memorial service at Baylor today?
Yes, sir, I will.
Gotcha. Let's talk about some things that back in Washington now. One of the things that has caused a split kind of in House conservatives was in the Obamacare plan that there be some catastrophic care. And tell me how you're coming. They were going to vote on it yesterday and decided not to. Will there be a vote on that portion of it? And how do you stand on the idea of there being catastrophic care for people being funded?
Well, with respect to the vote, I don't know if there's going to be a vote. The vote was supposed to be yesterday. There was a vote on the rule to bring it to the floor, and as from what I understand, that passed. And then there was going to be a vote on the bill itself, but that vote was postponed. Here's what the situation is. I mean, just to remind everybody what this deal is, the PSIP program was a program to help folks that needed catastrophic care for pre-existing conditions. Like most parts of Obamacare, it was inadequately structured, and so it's essentially insolvent. And so as of earlier this year, the administration decided it was going to pull the plug on this program, but and quit taking new admissions, but then to use the $5 billion that was part of the funding for that program, and then use that to implement and advertise for Obamacare. Well, so if you ask me, should we stop the funding to advertise and implement Obamacare? Absolutely, and I would have voted for that part of it. On the other hand, voting for the implementation of a part of Obamacare by using money from another program to fund this expansion of catastrophic care for folks with pre-existing conditions, that seemed to be a little bit of a problem for me, because you're basically endorsing part of Obamacare. Now, on the other hand, one of the reasons Obamacare was put into place is because you had all these people with pre-existing conditions, and this program is actually the most efficient, least costly way to address that issue, and then you could really gut the rest of Obamacare and leave this program in place. But then on the counter to that is this is really a state not a federal issue. So to answer your question, there were amendments that were going to be offered on the floor to the bill that could have improved the bill. But before I would have voted, I would have wanted to have seen what those amendments were going to do to it and affect the structure of the final bill. So I had reasons to vote against it. I had reasons to vote for it. But it doesn't look like there's going to be a vote at all.
It doesn't seem that the Republican Party has been very smart about this, though, because, I mean, you've got a chance to in this answer, flesh out in a minute and a half your pros and cons to it.
Right.
As you just kind of skim over the top of this, this once again looks like Republicans are not willing to fund catastrophic care for people with pre-existing conditions. That's not changing the image of the Republican Party for the better.
Well, see, that's the issue. That's what the outcome is of a no vote.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
A yes vote, on the other hand, is to defund Sebelius's prevention fund that's really a slush fund that she's diverted from this program to use to advertise for Obamacare, and that's equally offensive. So you're kind of in a position where you could get either praised or dinged for a vote either way. I mean, if you look at the conservative groups, Heritage Action and Club for Growth were scoring this as a no vote, and most of the other conservative groups in the country were scoring a yes vote. So it was one of those things that, you know, I'm actually glad it got pulled from the calendar so that our leadership can go back and reassess a better way to deal with this. I met with the speaker on Tuesday, and I said, you know, one of the things that we've got here is we've been in session now for 4 months, and our freshmen have not had one vote on Obamacare mm-hmm. to repeal it. I said, if you could have somehow coupled a vote to repeal Obamacare with this bill, let's say back-to-back votes, you could at least give our freshmen some cover where they said, look, I put a stake in the ground to say I'm against Obamacare, and that's really what that's what we stand for. We want to kill that program. Because it's hurting the economy already with vast uncertainty. I mean, even the Federal Reserve says that. But yet, leadership has not brought a vote like that to the floor. I expressed my frustration with that on Tuesday.
Bill Flohr is joining us from the district. Now, we're a week farther down the road from the Gang of Eight and immigration, and actually, House members have been pretty tight-lipped about this proposal. Do you know anything more about this, the proposal in the House, and how it stacks up against the Gang of Eight?
Well, I don't know that much about the House proposal, but in my meeting with the Speaker on Tuesday, it looks like the Gang of Eight proposal from the House is going to be released to the committees sometime in May. The Speaker has pledged that everything will go through what we call regular order so that the committees of jurisdiction will look at this, and then they will modify it to fit the will of the House and then bring it to the floor, either as one bill or in pieces. We on the Immigration Reform Caucus are putting together our own outline for what immigration reform should look like, and I'm hopeful that we will get that published and on the floor around the same time that the Gang of Eight does.
Something that is going to impact a lot of people is an internet tax. There's more talk about that. The Senate's looking at it. What's the buzz that we're hearing inside the Beltway?
Well, I haven't heard anything from the House that a bill like that will come to the floor. And, I mean, you do have a lot of people stirred up about it. If you look at our brick-and-mortar retailers here in Bryan-College Station, they believe that they are unfairly taxed compared to internet retailers, and so they feel like internet retailers ought to pay their fair share, if you will, of sales taxes. If they displace let's say Shoe Buy sells a pair of shoes into Bryan-College Station, the shoe stores here think that everybody ought to pay the same tax on it.
Right. Where do you come down on that?
Well, I don't know yet. Trying to address the important issues that come up, and this one hasn't really hit the floor. I mean, so I think you do some retail business, and
sure.
I don't know how you'd feel about it, but you'd probably feel like it was fair for an internet retailer to pay the same thing. On the other hand, you've got some group of people say the internet should not be taxed, period, end of story.
Well, so. Well, we'll see. We'll be interested in that. And then finally, the story came out in Politico, I guess this morning, that it appears that Congress is going to move to be able to exempt their aides from being part of health exchanges and themselves as well.
Well, I would vote against that. I mean, Congress imposed, not me, but because it happened before my time, but Congress imposed Obamacare on the American people. And by golly, If Congress imposes that in the U.S. economy, it ought to impose it on itself. And that's the way it was originally set up, except for some committee chairs and some committee staffs. I don't know how in the world they came up with that. And so I would object to any efforts to somehow pull Congress or its staffs out of Obamacare. Now, that means that, you know, the typical staff member on my team would take a $10,000 hit. But, heck, that's what the American people are going to go through. So why should I exempt myself from that when that's going to be imposed on the American people?
Bill Flores joins us usually on Wednesdays. Today on Thursday, when Congress is in session, you can hear the entire interview archived on our website. Thanks for the time this morning.
Scott, great talking to you. I'd ask everybody to pray for the community of West and for our first responders and our military men and women.